Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. Today, we're going to cover quite a subject. You want a title for the sermon? It is Repent, Confess, and Forgive. So, let's look at some of the things in the Old Testament and then the New Testament. Let's first of all come to 1 Kings, the 8th chapter. Now, this is quite an interesting thing because this will prove the unity of Scripture between the Old and New Testament. 1 Kings, the 8th chapter. And this is Solomon's prayer. And he covers many, many things in it. It's a long, long prayer. And so let's come to verse 31. Psalm 31. Not Psalm, but 1 Kings 8, 31. And we can see that this is very similar to the New Testament, which we will cover a little later. If any man sins against his neighbor, and if an oath is laid upon him to cause him to swear, and if the oath comes before your altar in this house, then hear in heaven and do. Judge your servants to declare the wicked to be wicked, and to bring his way upon his head, and to justify the righteous, and to give according to his righteousness. Now, that's very similar to what we have in the New Testament. Now, verse 33. Where your people Israel, when your people Israel are crushed before the enemy, because they have sinned against you, and shall turn again to you, and confess your name, and pray, and cry unto you in this house, then here in heaven, forgive the sin of your people Israel, and bring them again into the land which you gave to their fathers. So here we have repentance, confession, and forgiveness. Now, it's very interesting when you consider about Solomon, and you start reading how he became philosophical in the book of Ecclesiastes. Here is when he was still young, the temple was being dedicated, and this is part of the prayer of dedication of the temple. Okay? Now, verse 35. And when the heavens are restrained, and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, and if they pray toward this place and confess your name, and in that also means their sin, and turn from their sin when you afflict them. Then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants and of your people Israel, and you shall teach them the good way in which they should walk, and give rain upon the land which you have given to your people for an inheritance. Okay? Now then, this next one is very interesting. And also is very New Testament when you understand it. So we'll read a little beyond there. Come down here to, verse 37. Next verse down. And if there is famine in the land, and if plague, blasting, mildew, locust, and if there are creeping locusts, if their enemy encircles them in the land of their cities, whatever plague, whatever sickness, any prayer, any supplication from any man of all your people Israel who shall know the plague of his own soul. Now that's quite an interesting statement, isn't it? What is the plague of his own soul? Now is that referring to just the outward plagues? Or is that referring to the sinfulness of the human mind and trying to capture this human mind and keep it going the way that God wants is quite a challenge indeed. And shall spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and forgive and do and give to every man according to all his ways, whose heart you know, for you only know the hearts of all the children of men. So here Solomon had it exactly right. And it was quite a thing. Come over here to verse 46. Verse 46. If they sin against you, for there is no man who does not sin, understanding that's the same thing, all of sin comes short of the glory of God. And if you are angry with them and have delivered them up before the enemy, and they have been led away captive to the hand of their enemies, far or near, yet if they shall think within themselves in the land where they are carried captive, and repent, and pray to you in the land of their captives, saying, we have sinned, repentance, we have done perversely, confession, we have done wickedly, and so return to you with all their heart, with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, who led them away captive, and if they pray to you toward their land, which you gave to their fathers, to the city which you have chosen, and the house which I have built for your name. Now, this sounds an awful lot like the teachings of Jesus. We'll see some of that in a little bit. Okay. Verse 40. Then hear their prayer and their cry in heaven, your dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive your people who have sinned against you, even all their sins which they have done against you, and give them compassion before their captors, so that they may have compassion upon them. That is, find grace and favor in the land of their captors. Okay. Beg your pardon if I said verse 40, add 9 to it and catch up. Okay. Okay. Now, for your eyes shall be open to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your people Israel, to hearken to them whenever they call to you. Now, you see, think about that for just a minute. Think about the children of Israel today. Are they turning to God in their troubles? Well, maybe some few are. Think about the children of Judah over in the Holy Land. Are they turning to God in their troubles? Now, that's an interesting thing indeed. There they are, right in the land. Verse 53, for you have separated them from among all the people of the earth to be your inheritance, as you spoke by the hand of Moses, your servant, when you brought our fathers out of the land of Egypt, O Lord God. And then that goes back to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. Now, it came to pass, as Solomon finished praying all this prayer and petition to the Lord, he rose up from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Then he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord. Now, think about this, because just a few chapters over, as we covered during the Feast of Tabernacles, look at all the trouble he got into himself, and he started out so well. See? So it's, the old saying is, it's not how you start, it's how you finish, if you finish. Okay? Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promises which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. Quite a statement, isn't it? Think of all the history of Israel, because they didn't chase out and go after the enemy the way that God said. He left them in the land as a thorn in the flesh to test them whether they would love God and keep his commandments or no. Now, this also tells us something very important. How important to God is it concerning our own individual choices? Because he gives choices to us. Now, in the recent Church at Home I did, The Delusion of Drugs, there's a clip in there which shows someone who's been on drugs a long time. And the whole family is there. And they keep talking to him and saying, well, you know, you can recover. Why don't you come with us and we'll help you? No. And then the mother would say, oh, look, I can help you so much. And these people here, we're all going to help you. Why don't you come? No. And then someone else said, well, we'll be able to do this and that and the other. Why don't you stop the drugs and come? No. And he said it at least 7 or 8 times and finally showed the whole family group there, must have been about a dozen, and he stood up and walked out. Quite a thing. See? So, whatever we choose today, if it is good, that's fine. But what are we going to choose tomorrow? And what do we do when we make bad choices or do things that are not right? Okay, let's go forward here. Verse 57, may the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us. Now you come to the New Testament in Hebrews 13. God says, I will not ever, no, never leave you. And that's quite a thing. Actually, in the Hebrew, there are 5 negatives that he's not going to leave you. He won't forsake you. He won't turn his back on you and so forth. See, to incline our hearts to himself. Now, that's quite a statement, isn't it? How do you incline your heart to God? By knowing, as we have covered, everything we have comes from God. And be thankful for what God has given. And use what God has given. Whether much or whether little, whatever it is, it's the attitude and how you use it. Now notice, to incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgment, which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, with which I have made supplication before the Lord, be near the Lord our God, day and night. Now here we have it written for us, see? Now this is in about 1000 B.C. So here we are, 3000 years later, reading the same words, and it tells you that human nature is exactly the same today as it was back then, see? So that he may maintain the cause of his servant, and the cause of his people Israel at all times as the matter requires. And all the people of the earth, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is none other. Now think about how the world would have been completely different if from this time forward Solomon would have kept this attitude. And help the people of Israel keep this attitude. And then the successor kings that came along. And let your heart be perfect with the Lord your God. New Testament doctrine, right? To walk in his statute, to keep his commandments as it is this day. Now that's quite a thing. Now then, let's come to Psalm 74. And we're going to read some parts of it. We won't go through the whole thing. Now, this is written by Asaph, one of the priests. Now, this is when, just before they went into captivity, this is when the temple was being destroyed in 536. Okay. Now, verse 1. O God, why have you cast us off? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation, what you have purchased of old, and the rod of your inheritance with which you have redeemed this Mount Zion in which you have dwelt. Lift up your feet unto the perpetual ruins. All the destruction the enemy has done in the sanctuary. So here he's seeing everything being destroyed. Your enemies roar in the midst of your congregation. They set up their banners for signs. They seem like men who lifted up their axes against the thick trees. And so forth. Verse 7. They burn your sanctuary to the ground. Verse 8, they say in their heart, together let us rage against them. They have burned up all God's meeting places in the land. All the synagogues were destroyed. We did not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet, neither is there among us any who knows how long. How long is this going to be? Now think about this prayer, because there's something that is really missing here. We'll see in just a bit. Verse 11, why do you withdraw your hand, even your right hand? Draw it out of your bosom and consume them. For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. You divided the sea, verse 15. You crushed the heads of the Leviathan, verse 14. You break open the fountains of the flood. The day is yours, the night is yours, verse 16. You've established the light and the sun. You've set all the boundaries of the earth. Verse 18, remember this, that the enemy has reproached, O Lord, and the foolish people have blasphemed your name. Okay? Quite a prayer. Very earnest, right? Okay? Want to ask the question, what is missing? Because this is the same way the Jews look at the enemies today. But what is missing? Let's read on. Deliver not the life of your turtle dove unto the wild beast. Forget not the lives of those your afflicted people forever. Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the houses of cruelty. Covenant. What was the covenant with God? Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, right? Oh, let not the oppressed ones return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise your name. Rise, O God, plead your cause. Remember how the foolish man reproaches you daily. Forget not the voice of your enemies, and the noise of those who rise up against you increases continually. What is missing? Nothing about confession of sin and repentance. You can rage against the enemy all you want. You can cry out to God all you want to come and kill the enemy. But unless there's repentance, it isn't going to be. Same way with today. In Psalm 78, there we'll turn over here just a minute. Okay. Psalm 78. For the carnal people in the world, God will accept something less than what's required for conversion, because they're in the world and they're unconverted. Psalm 78 and verse 34. When he slew them, then they sought him. And every time there's a great disaster, people return to God somewhat. Never under repentance and conversion. Okay. And they turned back and sought after God earnestly, and they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God, their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouths, and they lied to him with their tongues, for their heart was not steadfast with him, neither were they faithful in his covenant. So here in Psalm 74, he says, remember the covenant. Well, God never forgot it. God was never slack in it. But who did the forgetting? The people. But in spite of all of that, because of his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, did not destroy them. Yea, many times he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, and a wind that passes away and does not come again. So that's quite a statement about Israel, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Okay? So if they would have done like Solomon said, then it would have been different. Okay? Now, let's look at the opposite. Let's come to Daniel, the ninth chapter. Daniel, the 9th chapter. This is quite a chapter because it is so profound that it ends up with the prophecy of the Messiah. Daniel 9. And as we read this, you will see why Daniel was one of the most righteous. Not that he necessarily did everything perfectly as far as the law is concerned. Now notice the two differences here. Psalm 74, Asaph is saying, God, go after the enemy. Look at what they're doing. See what is happening. Oh, they're destroying us. Oh, they've got us all bottled up and so forth. Not a word of repentance. Not a word of the cause of why all these things happen. See? And remember, if you remember the history of the temple, Jeremiah was called by King Zedekiah to ask, what's going to happen? Because the enemy was all around. And Jeremiah said, you're going into captivity. But you can avoid the destruction of the city and the destruction of the temple. If you just surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, and then he would have probably left him there as a vassal king. What did Hezekiah do? He said, now you leave and you don't tell anyone you were here. Okay? And if they find out that you were here, tell them thus and such. Well, Hezekiah tried to escape with his sons. Quite a lesson. If God tells you to do one thing, and you turn around and do the other thing, it isn't going to work. Wasn't successful. The troops of Nebuchadnezzar caught the king and his sons, who left by night by a secret way out, and brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar had the eyes of the king removed. So, it's a fearful thing to go against God in whatever it is. Now notice Daniel, the 9th chapter. Okay? Verse 2. In the first year of his reign, that is the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years which came according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. Now notice the complete change of attitude compared to Asaph. And I set my face toward the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession. Quite a thing. Oh. Question is, what does it mean understood by books? He probably had Jeremiah's prophecies, Isaiah's prophecies, and perhaps maybe some of Ezekiel's prophecies. Now continuing. Notice how he approaches God. Asaph said, Lord, look at what they're doing to your people. Here's what Daniel said. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and awesome God, keeping the covenant and mercy to those who love him and to those who keep his commandments. John 14:15, right? Exactly the same thing. See? John 14:15. If you love me, keep the commandments, namely mine. Now notice, verse 5. We have sinned, confessing sin, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, and have turned aside your commandments and from your ordinances. Means turn their back on them. Neither have we hearkened unto your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our rulers, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. See, now, he's rehearsing what went on before they went into captivity. But most of them were just like Asaph. Oh God, you're doing all of this. Why don't you come and destroy the enemy? And God is waiting. When are you going to repent? When are you going to confess your sins? When are you going to turn to me? I'll forgive you. We have the promise there given with Solomon If they turn to you, you'll forgive them, right? Verse 7, O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us confusion of face as it is this day, to the men of Judah and to the people of Israel and to or Jerusalem, rather, and to all Israel who are near, that is those in Babylon, and who are far off, wherever the Israelites were by that time, through all the countries where you have driven them, because they have dwelt treacherously with you. Now, in reading this, I think about the code of Jewish law and all of that, how they set that in place of God's law, though it has some of God's laws in it. But you see, the laws and commandments of men cannot make you right with God. It's just impossible. I think about the Protestants. You look at what, if you watch TBN and you look at what these ministers do. Oh, it's quite a thing. They use the name of God over and over and over again. And we're going to see later what Isaiah has to say about that. Now notice, O Lord, confusion of face belongs to us, to our kings, to our rulers, to our fathers, for we have sinned against you. Now that's quite a confession there. To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgivenesses, even though we have rebelled against him. And think of the two worst kings, one in Israel, Ahab, and he sent Elijah there to tell him, look, you're the most wicked man in the world, and God is going to destroy you, and the dogs are going to lick up your blood and Jezebel's blood. So what did he do? He listened. And the Bible says, and he put on sackcloth and ashes and walked tenderly. So as Elijah was on his way going back, God said to Elijah, go back to my servant Ahab. What's that, Lord? For he has repented. So he had to go back and modify the prophecy and say, it's not going to happen right away. It's going to happen later. And sure enough, it did happen. And then you have the king of Judah, Manasseh. Boy, he got involved in witchcraft and false spirits and demons and built idols and had homosexual booths built around inside the temple area. And the king of Nineveh came and took him away captive to Babylon because they controlled Babylon at that time. And there he repented and came back and cleaned up the temple, tore down the idols, tore down the booths. Okay? So, never say, I have sinned a sin that is so bad God can't forgive it. Unless you blaspheme the Holy Spirit and rebel against God and have no remorse, your sins can be forgiven. See? Now we'll see another requirement when we get to the New Testament here in just a bit. Okay? Okay. Now, verse 12. And he has confirmed his words which he spoke against us and against our judges, who judged us by bringing upon us a great evil, for under the whole heaven it has not been done as has been done upon Jerusalem. Now that's quite a confession. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26. Think about what's happening with us today in America. Think what's happening with Judah over there in Jerusalem and what is called the Holy Land. They blame all the enemy. Oh, the enemy's doing this. Yes, let's build up our fornications. Let's detect them. Let's catch them before they do it. But not a word of repentance and turning to God. Eh? That would change the whole picture. And how can you say you're clean from sin when you've got all of this abortion, you have all of this drugs going on? Impossible. Okay. Yet we did not make our prayer before the Lord our God, confessing their fault, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. See, because we'll see in a minute what happens when you turn your back on truth. Therefore, The Lord did not hesitate concerning the evil he brought upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he does, but we did not obey his voice. There we go. The three words, obey my voice. Amazing. And today, we have no excuse. We've got the whole Word of God, all the voice of God written for us, and all the teachings of Christ written for us. See? Okay. And now, Lord our God, who has brought your people out from the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and has made a name for yourself as it is this day, we have sinned. We have done wickedly. Quite a difference from Psalm 74. Or, Lord, I pray you according to all your righteousness, let your anger and let your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, from your holy mountain, because of our sins and because of the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all who are around us. Complete, abject confession and repentance. And now, therefore, O our Lord, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and cause your face to shine upon your sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Quite a thing. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you on account of our righteousnesses, but because of your great mercies. Getting self completely out of it. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken, and do not delay for your own sake, O my God, for your city and for your people are called by your name. Okay? And immediately, who came? Gabriel. And what did Gabriel bring? The prophecy of when the Messiah would come. First, when the city would be built. Next, when the Messiah would come. Then the gap between his crucifixion and the last 7 years, which then is filled in with the book of Revelation. Quite a thing. Very moving indeed, see. And just think how God honors prayers when there is the right repentance, confession, and God forgives. So let's go ahead and take a little break, and we'll come back.